start that. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello everyone, I'm Sean. You're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We are an unashamedly left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists.
Welcome to another episode of Whinging Wednesday. Every Whinging Wednesday, we give you our hot takes on the week's news stories, play games, and respond to what you, our listeners, have to say.
So, I think the only thing we can talk about this Whinging Wednesday is what on earth is going on in number 10 Downing Street and what on earth is going on in the Home Office and what on earth is going on in this government, because honestly, I feel like we've just seen scandal after scandal in this government, and I still spent most of the day feeling outraged, which I think is quite a strange feeling for me, because I just naturally assume that the government can't sink any lower, and then lo and behold, they do. I watched on the day of recording, Tuesday, I watched an interview given by Emily Thornberry on LBC, where she was asked, this is Boris Johnson's 1,000th day in government as Prime Minister. How do you feel about that? And I feel like she answered on behalf of the nation when she just... It was a mix of a sigh and a groan, so much so that the interviewer had to ask if she was okay. And I actually just felt like everyone in the Labour Party, a lot of people in the UK, maybe a lot of Conservatives as well, shared that sense of just, ugh, can't believe it. I have to say, I just am astonished by today's news. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got definitely to talk about Rwanda and what's going on there. Priti Patel, Theresa May, Rishi, we've got everyone's. It's going to be a bingo episode. So I'm going to start off by asking Sean and Nishan if they've watched today's news and what they think of it.
A pretty crazy day. I mean, it started with the Rwanda debate, where Priti Patel was questioned by almost everyone in the House, including a lot of her own party members, on the exact costs, use, whole blueprint of the Rwanda resettlement scheme, or processing scheme, whatever you want to call it. And I thought, I think you, Kathleen, sent me a video of Priti Patel being pretty awful in the House, pretty disrespectful, and not just to Labour MPs, although she was very, very rude and very abrupt to them, but particularly to her own predecessor from the Tory Prime Minister point of view, but also a former Home Secretary, Theresa May, who she berated quite awfully. And I found that quite crap from good old Mrs. Patel.
Yeah, so I've kind of been in this mindset recently where I've been thinking, like, this surely has to be like the lowest point. This has to be the worst that it can get. And then every time I'm proved wrong, every single time, the next day, the next week, something else comes out and I'm like, no, we weren't at the lowest point yet, because it's got worse. And I don't know, I mean, I've been saying it for a couple of weeks now, but I feel like maybe today could be the day where I can finally, you know, just sort of collapse and be like, yeah, I'm done with this. Because the amount of news snippets that we had today of like just different things in the Commons and just in like UK politics as a whole, just like the whole shabam has just been a whirlwind. I mean, I think going off of what Eshan said about Priti Patel and the Theresa May, like the sort of, like, I don't know, clash, if you want to call it that, today. I mean, yeah, it's one thing to attack members of the opposition, but to go after someone who is a member of your party and a pretty senior member of the party as well, and of course somebody that has been in your exact shoes, you know, as Home Secretary, I just think, how much more low can someone possibly stoop? I don't think much further. Yeah, that was, I don't want to say it was a shock, because it wasn't, like, you know, classic. Yeah, I wouldn't put that past her, but I was actually quite disgusted, and that's coming from me as a Labour Party member, like, to see the way that she spoke to May today in the Commons. Yeah, that was, I think my jaw actually dropped open as I was watching that video, yeah, today. Like, that probably, like, gave me the most of a rattle. But, you know, it's just been news story after news story. I mean, everything that's going on in Rwanda, and Johnson opening up about, did he lie to the MPs deliberately? Like, did he mislead them and all this sort of stuff as well? Yeah, it's just, it's been a really crazy news day.
Well,
yeah,
well, on that note, Sian, I think almost we're kind of straddling two different stories here, but I think in a day so busy like this, you know, we just have to be able to do that. And I think, you know, you mentioned the Theresa May stuff, which is ever so slightly different from the Johnson stuff. But just to kind of clarify, Johnson stood at the dispatch box and said that he was sorry for Partygate and the fines, but he wasn't going anywhere because Ukraine was so important. And I kind of felt that was a bit of a cop-out, actually. And I think that you, as a prime minister, have to take responsibility for your actions. Every adult has to take responsibility for actions. He's no different. And I did think it was a bit sad, actually, that he was using Ukraine as an excuse. Like, absolutely, there's a war going on. Boris went to see Zelensky last week. I think that was the right thing to do. I thought that was a good move. I thought it was great to show support. I'm all up for showing support to Ukraine. We've covered Ukraine several times on the podcast and Putin's aggression. So I think we're all sympathetic, and everyone listening, I think, is sympathetic too. But I think you have to be responsible for your actions. And just a clear-cut apology, I just didn't think it was enough. And I don't really know what would be enough, but I just felt like it was just, he was just using it as an excuse.
I think what it does shine a light on is not just the fact that the sort of twists and turns and cognitive dissonance that many Tory party senior members are using to try and avoid making Johnson culpable, but also the fact that constitutionally we're almost trapped by what the views of the Tory MPs are. And that is quite an interesting one from someone who follows politics just as an interest, not necessarily studies it. The fact that in different countries you can sort of pin someone down for being wrong and lying, whereas in the UK we've sort of, the most we've got at this stage, I believe anyway, is the Labour Party putting forward a motion that Johnson lied to Parliament, where actually Tories don't even have to show up theoretically. So it's just funny to watch that kind of unfold as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's pros and cons to a no confidence motion, but there's, I think, despite the fact that many Conservative MPs know that he's done wrong and that he's in the wrong here, I still think they'll line up and support him because he's been a winner. He's always been a winner. They think he can win again. And that's a difficult pill to swallow, I guess. But I think it puts more pressure on the electorate. That's people listening. That's your friends and family. That's anyone that can vote in UK elections. Puts more pressure on them to be the agents of change. I don't think it's fair to say that we can wait to the Conservative Party to make its mind up. And I thought Keir Starmer was fantastic at the box today. Really good statement, I think, got to the heart of the issue, which is, you know, while he was having a party and, you know, who drank what and what swing was broken and, you know, where was the box of alcohol is one question, but there were people obeying the rules quite genuinely suffering and having a very tough time. And I think that that's what we need to remember going forward, is that they will try and dismiss this, they will try and pretend it never happened. It did happen, and while it was happening, there were genuine people struggling. And not to, we've spoken about this already on the podcast, but one of those people, let's be honest, was the Queen. You know, we speak about her a lot. She's the sovereign, and she obeyed the rules, and she got in line, and she did the right thing, even though I'd imagine it was very difficult when her husband died. But she did the right thing, and she, like millions of other people, stood on the right side of the law and the rules. And unfortunately, Boris didn't do that, and I find it very difficult. And I don't know what he can do other than apologise, apart from resign. But it's quite clear to me, as it is to anyone who watched the telly today, he's not going anywhere.
One thing I will say, though we talk a lot about the Tory party, as you mentioned, not only did Keir Starmer do well today, and there's the lead in the polls. One thing that's really that I find quite interesting is that when you break down a lot of these polls and break down a lot of public opinion, the Labour Party messaging on the economy, on a lot of the issues, seems to be breaking through to the electorate. Yeah, so that messaging on the economy and stuff has been going well, and it's showing that Labour have got a lead there. But that's interesting comparing it to 12 or 2017, where we've been in opposition. And if they can keep this up, then you'd hope that there might be sort of a swing electorally, not necessarily parliamentarily.
Yeah, so obviously Keir did really well today. And as a Labour member, I was like, actually, really proud to see what he said. It was another kind of, I don't really know how to describe it, but with Labour doing so well in the polls recently, you know, we've been seeing it, the statistics over the last sort of few months, and we've been doing really well. I think that kind of just what he said kind of encapsulated the success that we are having. And obviously with the local elections coming up on the 5th of May, I really do think that the public sort of anguish and anger, like, towards everything that's been going on will be reflected. So yeah, from what Echelon said in regards to economy policy, I think that Labour have sort of, I don't know, I guess it's like turned over a new leaf sort of thing, because I think a lot of voters that would have previously voted Tory or did previously vote Tory might be more likely to kind of look our way with the changes that have been made in regards to Labour's outlook on the country's finances. And I think that's a really positive thing. So yeah, that's all I have to say really, but you know, big thumbs up.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, and I'd be interested to see what the other two co-hosts think about this, but I actually thought Keir Starmer today looked more prime ministerial than he has in the past. And I think it was just because he empathised with the average person who has made a lot of sacrifices during lockdown. And I think that the questioning was very good. And I think even though Johnson very much tried to push him, and a lot of excuses came out and a lot of, you know, things were said, I actually thought he kept his cool, was quite calm, collected. And I actually thought quite good. I thought his performance was actually very, very good considering. I also think it's really good that he had that good performance, because people in the future will look like, that's a piece of history now. People will go back and look at that. And I hope in the minds of the British public, when they watch the news in the next couple of days and they keep seeing that clip, I hope that they begin to kind of think of him more, less as the leader of the Labour Party and more of a prime minister.
Yeah, I think I'd probably say on that, not only did he come across as more of a prime ministerial figure than ever, but also, you know, I don't think he's ever looked more like a prime minister, more than the actual prime minister, in any day, more than today, which was like it was just, I don't know, surreal to see. You know, you kind of like, wait, which one's the prime minister again? Yeah, but yeah, he's really... He's pushing the boundaries, to be honest with you. I mean, what with the polls and the positive figures that we've got at the moment, and then obviously days like today where he's gone and just done like the British public proud, really, with in regards to his empathy and the way that he finds a way to relate to the struggles that the average person in the UK has. I mean, I think it's just next level. It's something that, you know, Boris Johnson just does not seem to be able to do one iota. So yeah, absolutely.
I do think though, Keir has changed how he has been, particularly on those more empathetic bits that you've spoken about. But it also seems kind of bizarre from a Tory point of view that they're literally stepping into a trap that is perfectly suited for Keir Starmer, because I don't know if you had the clip today, but they mentioned the last minister who got caught breaking the law for a speeding ticket, I think it was. And Keir Starmer could just straight up say, yeah, that was me who prosecuted him. I know how this all works. I can be the professional that you guys can't. And when people see it on the news, they won't really necessarily need to know much about a manifesto or even know much about economic policy. At a front, they can just see someone who looks like they know what they're doing. And a lot of people, that is how they vote, and that's how their perceptions are made. So on a lot of fronts, I think we're in a good place.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, we are in a good place, but it's a shame that it's got to this stage. And we are in a good place in terms of, you know, the polls have been quite clear. The majority of people in the country thinks that he's lied to the House when he said that he didn't know and that he was sorry. And I think people clearly see that for a lie. The British people aren't stupid. I think they knew, they very much knew that he was in trouble, and they knew he'd done something wrong. And I don't necessarily think that they waited for the fines to prove it. I think they just knew it straight up. I don't think the Met Police had to take so long with their inquiry, because I think that, you know, in situations where the evidence is so pointing one way and the results are so foregone. But I would say it's tough that we've got here. It's really brutal. And I actually, we're kind of speaking in politics land, but my heart goes out to people today who stopped, who didn't see a loved one, who didn't see somebody that passed away, who didn't see someone in critical care, because they thought that they, because they were so adamant on paying the, on, you know, on obeying the law, and they were so worried that they were going to be arrested. And that's anyone from a student or a young kid who wanted to go see his mates and got caught, all the way up to people not being able to say goodbye to people that they love, and to say goodbye to a loved one too soon because they couldn't sit in hospital and hold their hand, for example, or couldn't go to their funeral. Those are the people that I feel the most sorry for in all of it. And it's been a lot of, you know, the majority of this podcast we've been talking about internal political things, which there's a time and place for, but at the end of the day, you have to keep you know, the priority is those people, and it's about how we can look after those people who may now feel a bit guilty that they obeyed the law, which I think obviously is very sad, but you have to really question how we can look after those people going forward, because I can't imagine anyone who kind of watched the news today and is in that situation, I can't imagine how terrible they must be feeling right now, either through anger at the government or through guilt of obeying the laws. And obviously I hope absolutely Sean's right. We can, like Keir Starmer was a really good form today. If Sean's right, the polls are looking in our direction, and that's good news, and that's exactly where we should be. But it's just very sad that it's come to this stage.
Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Whinging Wednesday. We will be back next Whinging Wednesday with a new episode.
If you enjoyed listening to us, please subscribe to the podcast to be notified of when our new episodes come out. We also have a mailing list, the Left Whingers Community, which you can join using the links in the episode's description. Likewise, you can keep in touch with us using our social media links, which are also in the description. And on a final note, this week, many of the postal vote ballots have come out for the local election, so make sure you fill those in and send them off on time.
As Sean said it best, vote early, vote often, vote Labour. Keep whinging, and we'll see you soon.